Hello and welcome to the Total Football Soccer Show, Richmond's first, only, and therefore best soccer talk show. I'm Taylor, and I'm joined in studio this week by Josh. Say hello, Josh.
Hello.
And Albert. Say hello, Al.
Hello.
And Daryl. Say hi, Daryl.
Hi.
All right. This week, I wanted to take a show in a little different direction, maybe a lesser-known direction, and that's the leagues of the world. That's how I'm going to phrase it right now, as corny as it sounds. Because I think in this country, if you're turning on TV to watch soccer, you're probably going to end up watching one of three leagues. It's going to be the English League, the Italian League, or the Spanish League. And so first off, I just kind of wanted to establish those tend to be, I guess, viewed as the big three leagues. Why do you all feel that is? Daryl, you being the international man, I'll let you start off.
I think at its most basic, it's about money. Mm-hmm. Those leagues have the most money. They attract the big name players, and mm-hmm. those are the players we want to see, so we watch those leagues.
Yeah. Albert, would you agree with that?
Yeah, and because of that, you know, it kind of builds on itself. The money builds on itself. There's a reputation there that makes the players want to go and that makes us very interested in what happens to these historic clubs.
Yeah, it's a self-perpetuating cycle. Once you get the money, you get the players, it just keeps rolling.
Yeah, and then I think probably television coverage comes into play there a little bit as well. You know, as we just said, it's the teams that you're going to watch are going to be from those leagues. Same thing, probably in, you know, China, leagues, places like that. Like, there's those are the leagues they're exposed to. But I did want to ask, you know, France has the history. You know, they won the World Cup 98. Germany, you know, finished second in World Cup 2002. So why do you think that those two leagues, they tend to be seen, I guess it's like the fourth and fifth, maybe the second tier leagues. Why do you all feel that is?
I think you've got to separate the achievements of the national team from the sort of standing of the league itself.
Okay.
I think we can all agree that the German and French leagues are very good and they're good to watch. But I think the reason that they're not as big as the big three is that they don't have as many big clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like in England, you've got Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man United.
Yeah.
Italy's got sort of a big four. Spain's got Barcelona, Real Madrid, these big names. Whereas Germany has Bayern Munich, who are like a big historic club, but maybe the other teams aren't as well known globally.
Mm-hmm.
And then France, the same. There's not really a club that someone in Japan or China is going to support in France.
Gotcha. And so I think it's interesting to point out here that, like, what we're doing right now, it seems to me what a lot of radio shows do, it's when they talk about soccer, they talk about maybe those big five leagues. Maybe South America sometimes gets a mention, but not often. And so what I wanted to do is looking at the criteria we've kind of established, that being what money, talent, media exposure, television, and overall reputation, looking at maybe the other leagues around the world and figuring out what league could, you know, maybe rise to prominence. Maybe not right now, but maybe in the years to come, maybe 15 years, 20 years down the road.
Oh, so are we nominating the League of the Future?
Yeah, they
Well, the League of
Yeah, sort of. I think it is important
to
note.
We'll all go to see in our flying cars.
All right.
Those hydrogen-powered or those still gas-powered?
I'm still working on it.
Fair enough. Well, I appreciate that, Daryl. That's way to be environmentally friendly. But what we've done, you know, getting ready for March Madness, I suppose, is we've broken it down into brackets. And we've got a bracket that's got 16 teams. We've kind of tried to divide it up evenly, some along region, some along maybe talent level or just similarity of the league. Basically, we're just going to go through and decide which league will advance and, you know, eventually, hopefully, crowning a champion. Daryl, Albert, and Josh are going to be doing the most of the debating, and then hopefully they'll decide amongst themselves. But, you know, since I'm a diabolical radio show host, I'm going to retain final say, so we'll see how it goes, which basically means whoever I want goes through. But we'll see how it works. So we're going to start off, I guess, top of the group would be Australia and Qatar.
What do y'all think? Yeah. Australia?
Yeah, I think it's Australia for me.
Yeah, I think there's money in the Qatar League, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's money.
Yeah.
But you got to look at the A-League, which is the Australian League, and just... I think of the A-League as on a similar sort of level to Major League Soccer, except that MLS was founded in 96, and A-League was only founded in 2004. So we're talking about a league that's only 6 years old, and yet it's making some strides.
Yeah. Plus, the Qatar League, I'm not sure it actually features any Qatar players, so I think that might be a knock against it. So we're all in agreement. Australia is going to advance out of that one, and they'll meet the winner of our next one, which is Japan and China.
Ooh.
Yes.
I think that one merits maybe a bit more discussion.
Yeah.
The J-League, which is the Japanese league, is one of the most well-known, I think, Far Eastern leagues in the world. You kind of have Japan and South Korea are pretty well-established leagues, and they seem to do well in the Asian Champions League. And so I think, you know, Japan brings a lot to the table. But China is kind of a sleeping giant of sorts. You know, there's just so many people, and there's the economy is growing all the time that maybe – you know, if we're looking further down the road, say 15, 20 years, is it going to be the country that has a huge population that is starting to really come around to soccer?
I mean, saying that about China, the one big knock that I've read, everything I've read about China, is that the fans aren't really that into their own local product. They'd much rather watch the top European leagues, and they're just not that loyal, and that's obviously a huge problem.
China is also still a communist country, right?
Yeah, so.
Doesn't that potentially inhibit growth, at least a wee bit?
Just depends free market society.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I do know that the Chinese League has had some problems with corruption recently. Yes. Which yeah. I don't think is a good sign going forward.
Yeah.
Whereas the J League, I think, is definitely well organized. And again, if you compare it to Major League Soccer, it's sort of similar. Started in 92, but they have a promotion and relegation with the J League and the sort of J League second division.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I feel like we're all sort of saying the same thing here. China, you're doing good work, but Japan advances ahead of you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, quality over Japan. Quantity.
Yeah, so now we move on to one maybe more dear to our hearts. That'd be the MLS taking on Mexico, the Mexican Premier League.
Oof. Mexican Primera División.
Oh, thank you, Daryl. So worldly he is. So then, Daryl, I'll let you take it from there. Which one were you more drawn to in this one?
Well, if we look at it right now, there's no question that Mexico is the more soccer-oriented country and has the better sort of traditions and soccer culture. Mm.
So then why is the MLS going through?
If it was up to me, I wouldn't send MLS through. I don't know. It's a tough one. It depends how far in the future we're talking. Are we going 1,000 years? Are we going 50 years?
You know? Yeah, I think foreseeable future, maybe not the next 5 years, but, you know, 15 to 20.
20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to go with the MLS just because I do believe there's more money, and money does end up talking a lot of times.
I think if you look at these leagues, and maybe it's too bad that I'm looking at it this way, but like as businesses, it's like which one would you rather be the CEO of in terms of its ability to grow and, you know, the ability to put a certain product on the field? You know, if you take over the Mexican League, you're taking over basically, if we're again running with the analogy, you're taking over a company that's kind of seen as far as it can go, in my opinion. And then maybe with MLS, you have just, you know, that potential to grow. Maybe it doesn't work and you end up falling flat on your face, but for me at least I think the potential that MLS brings to the table and in that type of sense is really what pushes it ahead for me.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with Albert on that obviously the Mexican League is ahead of MLS right now, but maybe there's not any more room for it to expand or grow that there is in Major League Soccer.
I'm going to go ahead and award the MLS the victory here. maybe a bit controversial, but such
very
life.
Strange that the only non-American was the one that argued for it.
Shocking on that.
But
one,
we converted
I'm sure.
you.
I'm sure that's going to endear us to a lot of hearts. But we will continue with the Western Hemisphere theme because our next matchup is going to be Argentina and Brazil.
So. I'd say what you're looking at there are two leagues with obviously very, very established soccer cultures and a fair degree of big names playing in the leagues right now. I suppose they're both best known for sort of exporting talent.
Yeah.
Maybe younger players get famous and move abroad to Europe, right?
Yeah.
But right now I see players coming back as they get older as well. We have Ronaldo's there right now. Roberto Carlos is there.
Fair Ronaldo, by the way.
In Argentina, you have Verón at Estudiantes.
And then I guess you could also say that, like with Robinho, for example, his recent move back to Santos, like he's still a player that's maybe not his prime, but still has a lot more, you know, years left in the tank.
Yeah.
Gas left in the tank.
Yeah, something left.
I'd pay to watch him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I guess the issue on this one becomes, if they're both, you know, so much geared on exporting talent and kind of bringing it back when they're older, which one could you see maybe breaking that mold to kind of establish themselves more of a you know, a reputable international league that's going to get a lot more attention than they already do? Not to say that they're not currently reputable, but simply that, you know, is going to be a league known for developing players and keeping them, as opposed to like, well, they've got a good 17-year-old and now he's playing at Arsenal or Manchester United.
To jump in really quickly, I would say Argentina, actually, even though maybe Brazil, you know, has more economic possibilities. I think the level of play in the Argentine league, from what I've seen of both, is a bit better. And you have, I think, more established, bigger clubs like River Plate and Boca Juniors, I think, are probably bigger than almost any club in Brazil, with maybe the exception of Flamengo or Santos or a club like that, maybe. But I think those two make it attractive in that respect, where you can kind of get talent to come to Argentina from the rest of South America.
Gotcha. So we've got a vote for Argentina from Albert. Josh, what about you?
I'm along pretty much the same lines. These two nations are so similar in their leagues, and they have the same growth potential, but I do think Argentina's slightly ahead on the level of play. So,
Daryl?
I'd argue the opposite, just that Brazil's economy is so much stronger that there's more chance of clubs being able to pay their players a wage that will persuade them to stay in the country.
Gotcha. So it's 2-1, but dictator gets it, so Brazil goes through.
Yay,
oh.
Brazil.
A vote and a half, I see.
I like the system.
There you go, it works.
An Englishman would like a tyrannical system, I believe.
Ooh, we're already back into that.
Bangs are out.
But just to go back, you're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show here on Richmond Independent Radio 97.3, radio for the rest of us. And what we're doing right now is breaking down bracket-wise the leagues that we think maybe have a future to develop into one of the bigger leagues in the world. So we've done with one half of the bracket. Let's move to the next half. And the first one to kick us off, it's a bit of a hot one. That's Turkey and Greece.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have a personal stake in this one. So I know
this
I'll
is dear to your heart.
For a moment. But Josh, if you're looking at these two teams, which one are you favoring and why?
I like the Turkish league. I'm going to say because of the big names and the big clubs. I know Greece has Olympiakos and Panathinaikos. But just the Istanbul as a city and the melting pot and just the financial backing Istanbul has, I think, drives Turkey.
Yeah. I'm going to agree.
Yeah. I mean, I think for all those reasons, Turkey.
All right. Fair enough.
I think Greece has Freddie Adu and Eddie Johnson.
True.
But yeah, I mean, to me, the Turkish league just is bigger and is better to watch.
Fair enough. So sorry, Greece. Hopefully you're not too mad about that one, but Turkey goes on. And they will meet the winner of South Africa and Egypt, which are two African contestants here, because Egypt actually does play in the African Confederation. So Egypt and South Africa. Daryl, I'll let you start off with this one.
I know a little of the history here. I know Egypt was the richest and strongest league in the whole of Africa. And I know that South Africa has recently made progress to sort of catch them up to second place. So they're the only two leagues in Africa that can offer sort of a good wage to local footballers right now. I'm sort of rambling so that I don't have to pick one. I think actually I'd go with Egypt again because of the size of the clubs. You've got the Cairo clubs, Al Ahly and Zamalek. I mean, they're big, big teams, and they can't. Teams like Kaizer Chiefs, I think it is.
Yep.
Yeah, they're not as famous. I mean, Kaizer Chiefs are more famous as a band in England than as a football team in South Africa.
So Daryl says Egypt. What about you, Josh?
To actually rebut what Daryl said, I'm going to go to South Africa because they actually recently just signed a new TV deal that makes them one of the top 15 commercial leagues in the world, which I think is huge for them. And then you saw what the World Cup did for MLS. I know it wasn't – we created MLS because we got the World Cup, but – I just kind of wonder with all these new stadiums, they might have a chance to entice more players to come down after the World Cup.
All right, so that's tied 1-1. Albert?
I think the really interesting thing about this is you have two leagues that are so different competing with one another. The Egyptian league's been around much longer than the South African league. And so you can say, look at the progress South Africa's made in such a short time. And, you know, maybe it'll get that bump from the World Cup. But I'm actually going to say that I think because the Egyptian league has been around longer and has clubs that are more established, it's going to kind of generate a feeling among players that they are going to want to go to those clubs because they're playing for an entity rather than just playing in a league. So I'm going to go with Egypt as well.
All right, so Egypt advances. So that's a good one there. And now we move on to the European bracket. We're going to start off with Netherlands or the Dutch league versus Portugal. Albert, I'll let you take this one to begin.
For me, it's actually pretty cut and dry. I think it's the Netherlands right off the bat. I think, you know, in terms of economic stability between those two nations, and that's what I'm going to look at. They're both leagues with good reputations. They've been around for a long time. They have big clubs in them with Ajax and PSV Eindhoven and Holland, and then Sporting Lisbon and Benfica in Portugal. I think they're very similar on those counts, but I think the stability of the Dutch economy is, you know, that's what does it for me. I think the clubs can stay bigger longer.
Yep, so. Dictator speaks, Netherlands wins. Moving on. We're on to Ukraine and Russia. Daryl, you wanna tell us all you know about Ukrainian Russian football?
Yeah, it won't take too long. I know that they're both called the Premier League, Ukrainian Premier League, Russian Premier League. So they're both trying to imitate the English Premier League.
Yep.
And they're doing that with the amount of money that's been in the leagues lately. And just based solely on the fact that I think there's more money in the Russian League than the Ukrainian League, I'll go with Russia.
Fair enough.
Okay. Yeah, I
can't really argue too much.
Majority vote. All right, Russia goes through. Okay, so now we've got our final eight teams going forward. And once again, just to reset, you're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show here on Richmond Independent Radio 97.3. And we've now got our top eight leagues that we think could maybe become bigger than they are right now, I guess is what I'll say.
The League of the Future.
The League of the Future.
That's what I've titled this tournament.
League of the Future is the official title, thanks to Daryl. All right, so in our first, I guess, quarterfinal, we've got Australia and Japan. And Albert made a noise, so Albert must talk about it.
That's tough because I think that soccer is growing a lot in Australia, but there hasn't been a World Cup there yet like there was in Japan. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like for both Japan and South Korea, the World Cup really galvanized soccer fans in those countries, and they seem to have some of the more passionate fans in the world. And just for that reason alone, I think I'm going to go with Japan.
All right.
I'm going to have to go with Japan too, and not to say something negative about Australia, but I know when they're going for their most recent World Cup bid in 2018, that the rugby teams still weren't willing to change their season to let the World Cup play. So there's obviously another league that's doing quite well and probably better than soccer right now there. So
yeah.
I'm going to jump in and correct Josh there. It's actually the Australian football
team.
But this goes to the bigger point that soccer has so much competition in Australia. Mm-hmm. There's the Australian football teams, and there's the rugby teams, and there's cricket. So I think there's just... Japan's just further ahead in terms of development and faces less competition within its own country.
All right, so Japan takes it. They move on to the semifinals. All right, and now we've got one that maybe a home field advantage could play into, as we've got MLS and Brazil. Daryl, you being the maybe the non-homer on this one, you wanna chime in first?
Well, okay, I suppose obviously there's room for growth in MLS.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that right now the Brazilian league is so far ahead of MLS.
Mm-hmm.
That it's closer to being, you know, a bigger league in the future. I mean, if MLS makes a lot of progress in the next 10-15 years, it could be as big as the Brazilian league.
Okay.
So it's so far behind that I'd give this to Brazil.
Anybody want to refute that?
I'm going to have to jump in and disagree.
Ooh.
And it might be the
tension in the studio.
It might be the homerism and all, but I just think the MLS has almost unprecedented growth opportunities that you just can't really chart. So if you're talking about League of the Future, I think you can't just deny them and say because you're smaller now, you don't have the chance for the future.
So is MLS like the Al Gore graph in An Inconvenient Truth? Where
yes.
It just goes right off the top of this chart.
It's exactly like that graph.
I suppose it's just whichever comes first, if we all die through global warming or MLS gets big.
Yeah, thanks for taking it there, Daryl. but I think the other point that's worth considering is that, when we were debating Brazil or Argentina, which one should go through, kind of the point was that they both export players and then kind of bring them back when they're older, and it seems like that's their established model. And maybe they do have a lot more talent now, but I feel like it's going to be a lot harder for them to break that mold than maybe the MLS, who doesn't quite have that and is kind of trying to develop, you know, domestic talent and bringing in foreign talent. So dictator may have to rule for MLS here, but we'll see. We'll break it down to a vote. So, Dale, if you're going to choose, who are you going to go with?
I'm going to reluctantly go Brazil.
Albert?
MLS.
Josh?
MLS.
See you, Englishman. And the MLS goes through. All right. So now we go to the top of the bracket, and we've got a hotly contested one here between Turkey and Egypt.
I don't know how hotly contested that is. Uh-huh. In my mind, I think, again, the Turks go through and not too much of a nail biter. Mm. Because it's solely the advantage that Turkish clubs have of being able to participate in the European Champions League. I think that pushes them through.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think you can say the big team in Egypt, Al Ahly, can keep winning the African Champions League, but it's never going to bring the same amount of money as even just qualifying for the European Champions League.
Yeah.
So just that gives the Turkish league a lot more potential.
All right, fair enough. Dictator's in agreement, so we move on. Turkey's advancing to play the winner of Netherlands and Russia. A replay of Euro 2008, I believe.
Different playing field, though.
Yeah, a valid point there. All right, Josh, so if you're choosing one, who you got?
I'm going to choose the Dutch League. I love the Dutch League, and I love the style of play. And it's generally, they go with the 4-3-3 in general, because that's what the Dutch Federation promotes. And I just think the attacking aggressive style is so much fun to watch that once people start to watch it more, that it will become more addictive. And
fair enough. Albert, who made a face?
I'm going to say it's going to end up the way it did in Euro 2008. I think the Russians go through almost solely on the back of the enormous amount of money that's been invested in the Russian league.
Yeah, I'm sorry to say it, but I think the Dutch league, as good as it is to watch, it has a better history than it does a future.
Ooh, wow. Dutch league falling by the wayside.
Thought I might lose on that one.
So Mother Russia advances to now. I guess we've got our final four. The final four in the Darryl. What did you coin it?
It's the league of the future.
The league of the future, right? And we're discussing which league has the best potential to become that league of the future here on the Total Football Soccer Show on Richmond Independent Radio 97.3. Okay, so now we've got our first semifinal, a little bit of East meets West. We've got Major League Soccer versus the J League of Japan. And we're quiet in the we're quiet in the studio, so I'll let Daryl go. Daryl, what you got here?
It's tough because obviously I'm more familiar with MLS than I am with the J League. Right now, I look at the J League's got the two divisions, and they've got relegation promotion, which still seems like a pipe dream for MLS.
Yeah.
So I think just based on that and the fact that we're looking at a country, Japan, with still a strong economy, I'm going to go the J-League.
All right.
I'd have to agree with Daryl. I think that not having relegation promotion just kills MLS in becoming a top league.
Yeah, I disagree with both of you. respectfully, of course. I think it's MLS for me. And it's not. And this one is actually a lot easier for me to decide than perhaps the tie that MLS had in the quarterfinals with Brazil. Because, simply put, I think the growth potential just is so enormous for the MLS as compared to Japan because of the American market itself. Japan has a very good economy, and they do well at producing things like, you know, lots of cars, lots of the TVs we watch.
Maybe not cars. Made,
well, yeah, in recent times. Thank you, Daryl. But
topical.
It's the products that they're producing are consumed by America. So if America puts out a decent product in the MLS, then I think the American consumer will want to consume that product, and they're just more American. So I think it'll help promote that league and give it more and give MLS more money. And
I'd go with a similar argument that we used with the A-League, though, which is that Japan, there's not so much competition for soccer, whereas over here, I'm not sure, but I'm sure.
Well, I mean, Japan's number one sport is baseball.
Baseball,
to be
fair.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, baseball's the number one sport. Yeah.
But so, that still only is one hurdle.
True.
Yeah.
True. My question, and maybe it's a little bit, I don't mean for it to be biased, but I'm going to ask you, Daryl. Obviously, you live in the United States, but do you think for, you know, a European player, what's a more attractive destination, do you think, playing in Japan or playing in Major League Soccer?
That's another good point. Yeah, obviously playing in Major League Soccer. And I think part of that is just the cultural similarity between sort of Europe and the USA. And just in terms of marketing a league worldwide, you could argue that the Japanese language is a barrier to people in countries that use a Roman alphabet. It's hard for them to follow.
I think we may have just tipped the balance in the MLS favor.
I'm flip-flopping.
All right, so let's take a vote here. Daryl?
Just about MLS.
Albert?
MLS.
Josh?
MLS.
Wow. Okay, MLS. Into the
upset
finals.
For the ages.
And they will be meeting the winner of Turkey and Russia.
Well, Taylor, I know in this tie we have Turkey, but I want you to hopefully keep an open mind and not use your dictatorial powers to just send them through to the final.
I'm happy that you agree that I have dictatorial powers. But okay, fair enough. So,
well, you've already exercised them.
Fair enough. A valid point. All right, so Turkey and Russia. Okay, in this one, I'm actually probably going to surprise you guys a little bit because the way I'm looking at it is in Turkey, the league is pretty much dominated by Beşiktaş, Galatasaray, and Fenerbahçe, all three based in Istanbul. So you've got three clubs in one city. Russia's the same thing, kind of. I mean, you had Zenit St. Petersburg. You know, they won the UEFA Cup a couple years back. Yeah. But other than that, you've got CSKA Moscow, you've got Lokomotiv, you've got Spartak Moscow. So there's three clubs right there in Moscow. But then you've also got, I think, Moscow FC, you've got Dinamo Moscow, you've got a lot of clubs in that one city. So to me, if you're going to go down to city versus city, Moscow wins. So it's got to be Russia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't see that one coming from you, Taylor.
Yeah. Disagree? Agree? What do we think?
I'd make a short argument in favor of Turkey that they have that advantage of being between two continents so that they potentially could appeal to European fans and Asian fans. Ooh. But I think it's still a very valid argument. There's just more money being pumped into the Russian league.
Isn't a large amount of Russia in Asia?
Yeah.
But I think in fairness to that point is that when you think of Russian soccer, you think of teams like in Moscow or in St. Petersburg. You think of teams that are associated with the European side. You know, I know they have it. There are a couple of teams, like one or two, that are on the that side of the Urals. But
yeah, that's exactly what I meant.
Yeah, fair enough.
I will say the one thing for Turkey is they're a more established, stable league, but I don't think it's going to be enough in the long run to haul them over to Russia.
All right. Well, so we've got the finals now of the Russian Premier League and Major League Soccer. So America and Russia yet again.
Wow.
Cold War 2.0.
Yeah. Wow.
Complete coincidence, but I was actually watching Red Dawn last night.
Nice.
You should be watching Red Dawn every night. That should be a requirement. But okay, so amazing 80 movies aside, if you guys are going to have to pick here, who's it going to be? And silence. That's not unexpected. So, Daryl, once again, I'll let you kick it off.
I think, based not entirely on my viewing of Red Dawn, I'm going to go Russian Premier League above MLS.
You know the Russians lost.
So did you not learn anything from that
you
movie?
You watched the first 20 minutes. That's the problem.
Yeah, I did anyway. It's 20 minutes in the middle.
Okay.
Oh, so things still could be... Okay.
Okay.
I think it's interesting to note that our two finalists for the League of the Future both play sort of weird seasons, March to October. So are we saying that the League of the Future or the future of football is playing March to October? Mm. Or is this just a coincidence?
A valid point. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
I mean, I think it's a coincidence, and I don't think the leagues are really going to change their dates. But I think the one huge advantage Russia has over MLS is that they play in Champions League, even with their weird schedule.
Well, MLS plays in the Champions League too.
Well, it is, but it's CONCACAF Champions League, and it's just a different level than the European Champions League, to put it bluntly.
Yeah.
And it's not only just the level of play, but as we've discussed throughout, it's, you know, the money that's involved in the European Champions League far outweighs, you know, especially CONCACAF and then all the other confederations throughout the world. And I think one point that I wanted to make about this whole thing, when we talked about the top three leagues in the beginning, they seemed to be at the right place at the right time. It's when the Champions League was formed, those were three of the best leagues in the world, and so they were able to capitalize on that new money that was being thrown into soccer. And I think that Russia is right now best positioned to become part of that because they have a lot of their own money and their clubs are already doing well in European competition. So it's just taking that next step, not necessarily in the Europa League, but in Champions League, to push them to that level.
I think it's important to say that as well, the talent is sort of already coming through.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this isn't just like people pumping money into the clubs and buying foreign stars. Yeah. I mean, Russian teams are producing like guys like Andrei Arshavin. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's a proper exciting future for Russian football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so are we then saying, I feel like maybe this one's been decided. Maybe the Russian Premier League, in this case, wins out over Major League Soccer?
Yes.
Yeah.
And probably in most cases, actually, yeah. So I'm gonna agree. So there it is. If we're looking for the League of the Future, look no further than Russia. And on that note, unless we have anything else to add, I think we've come to the end of the show. So say goodbye, Josh.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Al.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Daryl.
I can't remember what's goodbye in Russian, so I'm just going to say goodbye.
I think it's Paka.
Okay.
Paka. Yeah, so Paka to all of you, and we'll see you next week.